This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream, and we have Stranger with My Face. We all know it. We've heard about it for years, and it's coming back bigger and better and brighter. It is in gorier, one hopes. For 2016, I've got the main key organiser, Bryony Kidd in Tasmania. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sonia. It's really great to speak to you again. I haven't caught up with you for a while. So
it's been about a year.
Really good to chat. Yeah.
I can't remember. It is good to chat about something that has been your baby for a while, you and Rebecca and Thompson. But more so, you've been carrying it for some time now. We missed a year of it. We missed this year, 2015.
That's right. We didn't do the festival this year at all. So that was kind of funny because, I mean, we didn't make a particular announcement. We just didn't do it. And people noticed, but they also are more excited about it in 2016 now, I think, because they started to sort of wonder, like, where is it? What's happening? And then when we made the announcement, they were kind of probably more excited than they would have been if we had actually had it this year, because they maybe thought it wasn't going to be coming back. So that's kind of nice that they...
I think that's cool.
You know, waiting for it.
I was relieved, to be honest, that it wasn't this year, because I wouldn't have been able to come again.
Well, I was relieved too. I was very relieved. that's kind of why we took a break from it, because, I was the main person running it, and for the last three festivals pretty much doing all of the programming and a lot of the operational stuff. I just found after 3 years that it wasn't really sustainable, and you know, I was spending quite a few months working on it almost full time and without very much funding. It's sort of quite difficult to do that, so I wanted to sort of step back from it and just think, well, I like this festival a lot, I really enjoy doing it, and it means a lot to other people as well, but how can it continue in a way that will be feasible for me to do and also continue my other work, you know, as a filmmaker and different things, but also how can it have a high standard? Because if you know, everything's stretched too thinly in terms of budget and time, the standards won't be what I wanted them to be. So just basically spent a lot of time this year thinking about it and just trying to work out a strategy to take it forward. And things have really aligned beautifully, actually. So I've got Kayla Janice, who's a colleague that I've worked with before when she came down a couple of years ago to do some events with us and at Monster Fest. And she sort of happened to be interested in working on a festival, so she's doing a residency with Stranger With My Face at the moment, and so is sort of come on board the team. There's quite a few other people who have been interested in the past in working with me on the festival, but for whatever reason they weren't able to at that point. But now there seems to be some people who are available and suddenly really keen to be part of it as well. So it just feels like a lot of things are aligning. It's all falling into place quite nicely. And also the strategy, I guess, that I came up with was to sort of slightly reposition the event. So we've changed the name of it because it was called Stranger With My Face Horror Film Festival.
Yes.
And now it's called Stranger With My Face International Film Festival. So we're sort of rebranding it, and we launched the website at a higher standard. So I guess the whole philosophy that we're coming from now is to sort of lift up the level of quality across the board in terms of the kind of festival it is and the sort of level of profile that we can hope to achieve for the filmmakers, and in terms of having more premieres and world premieres and all that kind of stuff. I guess it's about getting all of those things lined up to be able to then for more support from funders and sponsors and the community, because once you have a really professional product and presentation, I guess you can be more confident in really going after those opportunities. So that's sort of part of the thinking of it. But what it really means in practical terms, it's just going to be bigger and better version of the same festival that we've been running since 2012.
Well, look, that rebranding's firstly captured me, and I think a lot of people I've been speaking to online have been saying, what is going on? One of the questions was the international aspect, as you've mentioned, but also one person said to me, does that mean there won't be horror anymore? Or is that emphasis?
I think that's something that we probably need to, you know, make a statement about or put something on the website about. But really, it's just acknowledging what the festival has been in the past. Initially, when me and Beck started it, I wanted to call it a horror festival in a really clear way, to just say, this is a women's horror festival, this is what it is. And I think that worked well. But then I ended up having a lot of conversations over those 3 years with people where I was inviting them to the festival or asking them to support the festival, and they would say, oh, but I don't like horror. Or, oh, but that sounds really good. It sounds like a feminist festival. Or, you know, it's really great that you're encouraging women in the film industry, but I don't like horror. Or, you know, and so I got really sick of that conversation. Partly because I think that's a bit of a narrow-minded attitude, but also because I know it's not really true. Like, a lot of the times when people say that, they're not considering various other types of films that actually do fall within that genre. So you might say to them, well, do you like the Twilight movies? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I love the Twilight movies. And you'll say, well, that's horror, isn't it? And they're like, no. So it's sort of, it's a term that somehow has a stigma attached to it still. And so that's not why I've changed the name of the festival, because my attitude to that has always been, well, it's sort of too bad if you don't understand what the word means. That's not my problem. At the same time, the programming of the festival has always been quite loose around that as well. So it's very much a genre festival, and it always will be. But the definition of horror itself that I've used as the programmer has been fairly flexible. And that's kind of been our philosophy in a sense, because I'm just as interested in films that are borderline horror or that are very influential on horror as a genre, but maybe themselves are not that, as I am with things that strictly fit that definition. And I also think that getting hung up on strict definitions in genre is a bit silly, because the whole nature of it is really a changing, evolving thing. So it's a very long-winded way of saying that I guess I want the festival to be its own sort of brand and its own kind of philosophy, and it's reflective of taste and my taste as the main programmer. But I don't want to tie it down to a really specific thing anymore. I want it to be what it is just the Stranger with My Face sensibility, I guess. The international side of it, well, it's always been international too, I suppose. That's just acknowledging that in a more clear way. We definitely will be having more international guests than we've had in the past. So we really want to position the festival sort of in the international genre festival framework, so that it's kind of part of that calendar of events around the world, rather than just sort of off on its own down here in Tasmania.
Yeah. So it's going to be more open and welcoming to an international audience. Not that it hasn't been, but that change and the difference will probably draw more people to it, I think. Is that your feeling?
Yeah, it's just kind of about almost us being a bit more confident and just saying, well, we are a significant event, because actually we're now the longest running women's genre festival in the world, as far as I know, which is, you know, quite a strange thing, but it's true. And we are, you know, there's the Etheria Film Night in LA, which we're connected to, and we have a really good relationship with the people who run that. But we're actually a bigger event than that festival at the moment. So, you know, we can sort of say, no matter that we're located geographically quite far away from things, we're actually not far away from, you know, the activity and the interest that's going on in the genre at the moment. Yeah, I guess that's what it's about. But it's also, you know, we took a break from the festival for a year, and so it's just kind of coming back with a slightly different version of it, which seems energising to me and kind of at least makes me more excited about it, and I hope that other people feel that as well.
Yeah, it does feel like, it feels like one of those reboots, but in a good way. you know.
A bit of a reboot.
But a reboot. It just feels like you've put, there's a new charge of energy in there, and certainly Kayla's going to bring that too. I can already sense that. Her signature all over it in a good way. And if you are getting more people interested, it's clearly, this is very, you know, very much the time and time to relaunch it, make it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the, that's one of the reasons that I wanted to keep going with the festival, because part of me was kind of like, oh, well, you know, I want to be a filmmaker and I want to make theatre and all these other things that I'm doing. But I can just see that there's so much energy in this area at the moment, and there's been so much discussion just this year even about women in the film industry and what's going on there and why women haven't been getting as many opportunities as they should have. So there's a lot of support for women filmmakers. And at the same time, in the horror scene, you know, there's this really interesting stuff happening in indie horror, quite exciting, and, you know, a lot of original filmmaking coming through. So to me, it's just a huge opportunity to sort of bring all that together and be part of that, which is, you know, what Stranger With My Face is about. So, yeah, I mean, that's just what sort of made me think, well, rather than walking away from it, I'd like to sort of rethink it and come back with a slightly different version of it that can do everything that I want it to do. So, you know, you've got to be flexible when you're running a festival and sort of change, you know, evolve as you go on. So I guess that's what it's about.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's been some really interesting characters playing out at the moment internationally and in the genre. I mean, directors like Lee Janiak, of course, I saw Honeymoon. I don't know if you saw that, but really interesting what's happened to her. There was talk of her
she's doing a remake of The Craft.
That's right. And oh my God, I know when that story hit earlier this year, the amount of trolling, the nastiness, the bitchiness was awful.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, she can't do that. No one can touch that. No one can do that. And especially a woman. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What? I don't know if it's happening now. I haven't seen any news.
Especially a woman.
Yeah. And I was hearing it from other women saying that. And it's like, you're joking. You are joking.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the interesting things that, you know, there's some really influential sort of horror films that have been about women but actually directed by men. And then she gets a chance to do her version of something. Well, why wouldn't you want to see that? It seems crazy.
More interesting. Which brings us to that article, of course, because we're going to be doing Star Wars next week or the week after on the 15th. 2-hour special. Yay. We had to have it for Sci-Fi and Scream. And that article, of course, that's been around in the last 24 hours or so about all the J.J. Abrams inviting certain women to have discussions about, you know.
Yeah.
I was saying to Kayla, is that important? Do we allow men to, you know, why is it so important that this should be important? And for a man to decide, okay, we're going to give the girls a chance. That's my sarcasm. I'm just so sarcastic about it. I can't help it.
I mean, I just kind of skim read that article, but I feel like the push is actually coming from the producer there is actually the one saying we really need to bring women on board. So it's kind of, whether it's women or men saying it, I guess the thing is, unless you actually do it, then stop talking about it. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, we would like to have more women, but it's difficult for us, we can't find them, or we would like to aim towards that, blah, blah, blah. But I think the really great thing that's happening now, this year specifically, because of the, you know, various forces and things that have happened in the industry, is that's not being seen as good enough anymore. Like, nobody's going to be fobbed off by some kind of platitudes or saying the right thing. Everyone's used to that and is sort of a bit over it. And now it's like, well, what are you actually going to do? Like, when are you announcing, you know, this new film with this director, or when are you announcing quotas or targets or whatever you're going to do?
Yeah.
There is something clearly different that's happening at the moment where, you know, there's real action being taken. Even though maybe it's not in that case, I think I wouldn't be surprised if it actually does happen.
Well, it was Adriana Alberghetti, see, I've looked it up, who is an agent, actually. She's a Hollywood agent who's looking at the gender gap in Hollywood. and she wants to set up a meeting. So who knows if it's even going to happen? I don't know. Lucasfilm. Mm. There's been four directors, but I know of a couple of others who've also been approached, which I've been lucky enough to speak to, but not about that topic because nobody's talking.
Yeah.
And that was reported in LA Times. But one of them is interesting. It's Sarah Gavron, director of Suffragette, that hasn't been released in Australia yet. And another one, which is interesting, is S.J. Clarkson, a British woman who was working on the TV show Jessica Jones, that's on it online at the moment, and of course Marty Noxon from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So that's an interesting mix there. Mm. Recent and
not
so recent.
I was talking about Kathleen Kennedy when I was saying the producer who was kind of pushing for it, because I've heard her from Lucasfilm, and I've heard her actually talk about that in the past and say, you know, we should have some directors doing women directors doing Star Wars films. So I don't think it's a new thought to them, but they just haven't got their shit together to make it happen yet. And the funny thing in that article was that bit where it said, you know, it may happen, but there's all these other films that they've got to get through first. You know, the J.J. Abrams, Gareth Edwards, Ryan Johnson, blah, blah, blah. And it's just ridiculous how many of these, I don't know, how many of these franchise films there are at the moment. Like, you know, and they schedule them out so many years in advance, you feel like
it's ridiculous.
You're going to know what's happening for the next decade. It's kind of a bit depressing in a way. So, but that's why independent film is so much more exciting to me, because that's where you have the flexibility and you have new voices and new projects coming through quite quickly. And so that's why horror is doing so well at the moment, because, you know, there's this model in the indie scene that's being embraced of lower budgets, and it just means that people can be more imaginative and take more risks and do a lot of cool stuff that the big studios actually just can't do. So obviously that's where you're going to see more opportunities for women directors, and, you know, directors other than the white male kind of archetype. So I guess with Stranger With My Face, that's kind of an opportunity for us to push that and just say, well, look, here are some of the directors that you maybe don't know as much about, but they're really great and they're available, and, you know, what are you going to offer them for their next project? Yeah, it's a really good time to be talking about all this stuff, I think.
Yeah, it's a showcase too, and it's really, it is pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting for the second, degree of separation as well. So just to see, you know, some of the people that previous people you've had at the festival, like Jennifer Lynch going on to do The Walking Dead episode, and those sorts of opportunities really are great. I'm really positive.
Yeah, I mean, we have a quote from her that we've sort of used on some of our promotional material where she talks about how she felt about coming to this Stranger With My Face, and says that it was sort of a transformative experience for her and magical and all this kind of stuff, and kind of surprised that she said that, because to me, it was just like, well, that's what our festival is. That's what we do. And it didn't really occur to me when she was here that she may not have been to similar events that were really welcoming her and making her feel important.
Not on the other side of the world, anyway.
I mean, she was our, special international guest and the big sort of headliner filmmaker at our event. Whereas I guess at some of the other genre festivals she might have been to, she was one of many filmmakers, but not particularly being made a big fuss of. So it's just that kind of ability that we have, because we're a smaller festival, I suppose, to really put someone in a spotlight and say, you know, you may not have appreciated this person as much as you should have. really, I mean, it's not all about that, because some of the people that we'll be having and some of the guests, you know, will be pretty well known and going great and don't need help from us. But some of what it's part of is just sort of getting you to have another look at people that you may be aware of, but perhaps haven't fully considered their whole filmography or exactly why they're so significant and that kind of thing. So for example, in last year we had Ann Turner was our, special guest, and she hasn't made very many genre films. Just a couple, but we had her 1989 film Celia, which is just a, you know, really great underappreciated Australian film. So we're going to be doing more of that next year and just highlighting things that we think maybe people don't know as much about as they should, and that's kind of really the funnest part to me.
Yeah, so. A recognition is always a good thing. Acknowledgement and recognizing your peers from the past, or, you know, the past in general. And it's always satisfying to realize that. Then you can sort of dig it up in your mind of how important that film might have been and what influence it's had.
I think that's one of the things that Kayla, who helping me with the festival, Kayla Janice, she has that approach with her programming as well, and she's written some books, edited some books about, I guess, more obscure aspects of pop culture and things like that. And that's a sort of thing that I share with her, with her taste in doing that, that you can look back and see things that are really significant to you and reevaluate them and present them to the world, I guess, as being something special. And then other people can go through that same sort of reevaluation process. And, you know, because we have such a huge amount of very expensive culture sort of coming down on us with all this sort of Star Wars and all the huge marketing of Hollywood. And so all of the smaller stuff gets a bit squeezed out, I think.
So it's sort of important to
provide opportunities to think about, you know, the smaller projects and the lesser-known filmmakers and, you know, the TV shows and things that are really meaningful. So, you know, that actually might have changed your thinking or influenced you when you were a kid or that kind of stuff. So I guess that's what I find really exciting about having the opportunity to do that. As a programmer, to be able to get people to take another look at something that they might have taken for granted, or I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, I was just thinking of the Star Wars thing. I know it's a bit of a departure, and he's a male as well, perhaps. Yeah. But the young chap, the British chap, John Boyega. Now, I first came across him when I interviewed the director of Attack the Block, of course, who, you know, has a Joe Cornish, who's got a pedigree with Nick Frost and Simon Pegg and all of those guys. And it was just a little alien movie that hardly anyone saw, and it was Joe's first film off the block, you know, as his first feature, which had John Boyega, who stole everything, and I believe that's what Lucas saw straight away. They look for these little performers, you know, performances, and they look for these smaller films, and that's what they've been doing. It would just be nice to see if they could do that more with, you know, female directors, but maybe they're waking up to it. It's just, you know.
No, that's a good point, because there's been a lot of discussion about that recently, about why these male directors are taken from the indie scene.
Yeah, and not the females.
Done like one or two little things. And then given this huge, these huge budgets. So, I mean, that's really a big issue, because it's basically saying we don't trust women in the same way that we trust the authority of men, I suppose. Yeah, it just kind of has to be questioned and pointed out. Tricky, though, because you don't want to single out individual male filmmakers and be like, oh, why have you got this opportunity? You don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Because that's not really what you want to say, because probably they do deserve it, and it's fine. But at the same time, you don't see the equivalent sort of story happening with women. So we've probably just got to keep finding different ways to talk about that, I guess.
I guess what we need is to see some women actually from the independent scene actually do a couple of these blockbusters and make a heap load of money for the studios, you know.
Well,
it's kind of sad, but that's true.
The issue. Yeah, that's true, but that's the issue as well, is that if a woman does get that shot, she's going to have to make a lot of money, because if she fails,
then it's like
nobody else is going to get it. So that's almost why I think some women might have been turning down those opportunities, because they're
can't afford to lose, really.
You'll never work again if you get that opportunity and stuff it up.
Whereas if you're a man,
you might get away with it more. So like in the corporate world, they call that the glass cliff, I think, sometimes.
All right.
Where you know, women are advanced, but when a corporation or a company is in trouble, and then they'll suddenly appoint a woman as the CEO. So it's like there's no way that she can actually win. But they have been seen to have appointed a woman. So, you know, I think that it could possibly be an issue in filmmaking where, you know, female directors will get these opportunities, but they may be on projects that they can't possibly succeed with.
A bit like politics. No.
Yes, exactly.
What was the difference between that and Julia Gillard, and then the opposing difference, the antithesis of that was what happened in Iceland, you know.
Yeah.
When things got really shitty, they got a woman and a lesbian to help sort it out. But here they couldn't cope with just one woman in charge, you know. It's just massively, just so massively wrong. But anyway. Mm. Well, Bryony, I'm going to have to let you go because, we've been talking a lot, and which is good. But
it is good.
Just what are the dates again for Stranger in My Face?
So it's the 14th to the 17th of April.
Mm-hmm.
We actually will be having our 48-hour filmmaking challenge, the Tazploitation Challenge, in January. So we're moving that this year to be completely separate from the main part of the festival. So it's basically becoming its own event this time. That's so that we can focus on it more fully and kind of build it up and make it into a bigger and better event. 48-hour challenge is happening from the 22nd to the 24th of January. And then we're having the big gala screening on the 25th of January in Hobart. But the difference with it this year is that we're actually saying anyone in the country can enter the challenge, and, you know, it's open to men and women. It's open to everyone. You don't have to be an experienced filmmaker, but you can be. So it's open to any kind of filmmaker, basically, whether they're just picking up an iPhone or whether they've got a full crew and a, you know, red epic or whatever. But the difference with it this time is that to participate in it, you have to be in Hobart. So you basically have to be in town so that you can go along to our secret location and get your prompts and start the challenge at the same time as everyone else in Hobart, and then all the teams will sort of race off and make it.
Sounds like the Amazing Race.
Yes, it will be very much like that, except a lot more creative and a lot more interesting. People will be making low-budget, I guess, exploitation films or horror films or whatever they want to do, really. But so we've made it like that this time so that we really want to encourage filmmakers from outside Tasmania to enter. But we want it to be a communal activity. So we want all the filmmakers to be in the same place together and at least be in the same city. And then, you know, on the Monday night, which is actually the night before a public holiday, we're going to be having this big, huge screening where all the filmmakers and teams and all of their friends can be there together at the same time to watch the films and get really excited and cheer each other on and, you know, win prizes and all that kind of thing. Because we just think that that's what it's about, is that really communal aspect to it. So we want people from interstate to enter, but we want them to come down here. And we'll hopefully be able to help them out with that in various ways by, you know, getting them some accommodation discounts and setting them up with some local filmmakers who are looking to join teams or whatever we can do to kind of facilitate that to make it, you know, more enticing for them to come and do it. But I think it's just going to be a really fun weekend. And also what we really want to do this time is strongly encourage, you know, professional filmmakers and experienced filmmakers to do it. Because in the past we've had a lot of, we've had some experienced filmmakers, but it's been probably more grassroots and community-based teams and people who are just sort of having a crack at it and maybe have come from different disciplines, like they've, you know, done some experimental filmmaking or they've come from theatre or whatever. And we want all of those people to participate again. But what we also want to say is that for professional filmmakers, it's actually a really good opportunity as well, because we are going to have some really exciting judges. I can't say who they are yet, but there will be reasons for people to get excited about having their film seen by some of our judges. So if you win or if you do well, it's potentially going to be a really big opportunity. And not only that, but I guess as a filmmaker myself, I know that one of the things that everyone suffers from is not having enough opportunities to get stuff into production and to actually make films. What we're kind of hoping is that some of the professional filmmakers who might be quite serious and quite experienced also know that they're sort of sitting around and not making as much stuff as they would like. So we sort of want to throw down the challenge to them and say, you actually can do this competition. It's not going to make you look like an amateur, because that's not what it's for. It's actually just for all of us as creative people to, you know, push ourselves and get outside of our comfort zone and just go and create something. I know that a lot of professional filmmakers just don't feel like they get a chance to do that very often because they're either directing ads or whatever to sort of pay their rent, or they're putting in funding applications that take years to get anywhere with. So we're just saying, you know, come down to Hobart and actually just make a film and get stuck into it and see what you can do. And hopefully having that kind of challenge and the limitations and the sort of provocations that we're going to give them as part of the challenge, because they have to, you know, include a couple of items that we're going to give them and things like that, will sort of reinvigorate their enthusiasm for filmmaking and give them some new ideas and some new inspiration. That's what we're hoping will happen. And I don't see why it shouldn't, because, you know, we've had all this stuff recently with TropFest not doing so well. And it's clear to me that there's a lot of filmmakers out there who want the kind of opportunities of a filmmaking competition, but maybe TropFest isn't exactly right for them because that's not the kind of films they want to make or whatever.
Something weird happened there, and now it's going to be back on.
Yeah, so it's going to be back on, but it's actually after our challenge because ours is in January. So
we're going to
beat them to it, and hopefully some of the filmmakers who didn't do a TropFest film, or even if they did and they've still got some ideas and some energy, can come down to Hobart and make something for us.
Mm. Cool. So this is a big announcement. That's a big one.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be a big audience on the night. It's going to be just a lot of fun, I think. So, I mean, because we've run the challenge twice before, and each time it's always very popular and it always sells out, and filmmakers down here have embraced it in a really huge way.
Great.
So it's really just a matter of us now wanting to expand that out to, I guess, the national filmmaking scene, particularly the genre filmmaking scene, but it's really open to anyone, and you can, you know, interpret the idea of tasploitation, you can interpret pretty broadly. So, yeah, I guess that's what we wanted to do, is just bring everyone on board with something that we're really enjoying and been really successful for our filmmakers down here.
Cool. Oh, that's so really exciting for January. Damn it.
Yeah.
Too much going on. That's really good.
Oh, and I just forgot that also the film that won our Tasploitation Challenge the year before last, which was Ravenous, made by a Tasmanian filmmaker called Carmen Falk.
Yes.
That's actually just premiered in Sydney as part of the Night of Horror anthology film, which is called A Night of Horror Volume 1.
Yes.
So, yeah, she made that for our 48-hour challenge, and now a couple of years later it's part of a feature film. So that's actually pretty amazing.
That's pretty good, yeah. That's through Enzo Tedeschi and that crowd over there in Sydney.
Right. And I we've found that with a lot of our filmmakers and with the script challenge as well, you give them that really clear task and provocation, they often come up with stuff that they just had no idea was in them that's really exciting and really fresh, and they do really well with that material because it there's something kind of special about it. So I guess that's, you know, why we want more people to be part of it and come down and get involved.
Yeah, sounds good. And okay, so where can people go to register? Do they need to register soon?
Yes, they will need to register. I'm not sure whether registrations are going to be open by the time that people are hearing this, but if not, it will be very soon.
Yeah.
So to be on our website, which is strangerwithmyface.com, if you just go to the news page, you'll find information about it, or also if you go to look for the Tasploitation Challenge, because we've got a couple of filmmaking challenges. One of them is that, and the other one is our Tasmanian Gothic Short Script Challenge.
Right.
So, but basically, if you go to the website, there's the information about it, and we'll have the registration form there. So teams will basically just need to fill in some information and pay a registration fee, and then they'll be all booked into it and basically locked into a crazy weekend in January.
Great. And then, of course, the gala is on the, did you say the 25th? But it'll be played, 25th. Will it be played at the festival, though, whatever the outcome is?
Well,
Strange with My Face in April.
We haven't quite worked that out yet, but I think what we will do is screen probably at least the winning film at Strange with My Face in January. But I'm sure we'll find opportunities to screen some of the other films as well, because that's the great thing about the challenge. You end up with all these really interesting films and then, you know, as a festival, we can sort of program them into different opportunities that come up. So kind of hopefully extend the life of those films and make sure that they really become a good opportunity for the filmmaker rather than just a little film that they sort of made and then forgot about. We want to help them kind of push their careers forward by actually promoting what they're doing, I guess.
Fantastic. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm tired just talking about it.
I know, it's exhausting.
All these things that I've just told you about, now I'm exhausted. Yeah.
I know, cool. Well, look, we have to leave it there, but thank you so much for speaking to us, Bryony Kidd, the power behind Stranger with My Face, international film festival that is returning with a vengeance for 2016, kicking off starting with January's the challenge, of course, the 48-hour challenge, and then the festival itself, the full-on festival in April from the 14th to the 17th. Wow. That's great.
Yes, there's a lot happening.
Get down there. Yeah, so head to the site, strangerbyface.com. It's easy to find, to just search engine that online. And you've also got a Facebook page and a Twitter, so it'll be lots of info coming up.
Yes. Cool. Thanks, Anya.
You have been listening to a special edition Sci-Fi and Squeam podcast. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.